On November 21st, the 15th president of Florida State University appeared before the membership of the Capital Tiger Bay Club in Tallahassee. In the course of his talk, John Thrasher gave a quick overview of his five-year tenure as head Seminole. He glowed with pride over the school's new U.S. News and World Report ranking among the nation's top 20 public universities. He also spoke about some of the challenges FSU is facing beyond the search for a new head football coach. FSU President John Thrasher, speaking before the Capital Tiger Bay Club at the Donald L. Tucker Civic Center in Tallahassee. And now to introduce the program, here's Tiger Bay Club President Gil Ziffer.
Good afternoon. I'm Gil Ziffer, and I have the honor of serving as your president, which is an exciting time every meeting, but this particular one is particularly exciting for me. I'm a Gator, and to be up here surrounded by... I really didn't expect an applause over that, but it's all right.
I didn't hear.
Okay. I can go ahead and scratch that nice comment I was about to say. That's not going to happen now. But it's an honor to be up here today. Now, something happened. It was just pointed out to me, and I want to say that it wasn't deliberate. But somehow or another, we ended up with women on this side and the men on this side. I don't know how that happened. So should we? You do, Lucy. Lucy, in her unbelievable honest moment again, said that they asked for this. I don't blame them. Anyways, I'm glad you're here. I hate to pick on him, but it is an announcement. I don't know if anybody noticed that Wayne Messam has dropped out of the presidential race. Something about fundraising. His last quarter, I think he raised $5. Yeah, it's a difficult time. Just a little comment there, so I'm going to scratch that one. That didn't go very well. A couple of announcements. The first is notices will be going out probably next week for any of you that are in behind in your quarterly dues. There'll be notices going out for you to go ahead and get caught up. If you're on that list, would you mind standing? Isn't that an amazing coincidence? Nobody behind is here. The other thing is that we're going to be sending out invoices probably the first or second week in December. If you want to pay your 2020 dues prior to the end of the year, you'll have that opportunity. Like I said, we were not going to announce that Gilbert King is going to be here January 31st. Thank you, Jeff. Okay, so we're going to do the head table now. And I'm jumping.
Yes, better luck.
Ladies first.
Yeah, I think, I'm going to do this. Because y'all have just finished your lunch, and in a moment I'm going to ask you to do something. We have a new member of Tiger Bay up on the dais. Her name is Joni Tucker, and she is a new member of Tiger Bay. As you probably all are aware, without the support in the legislature from her husband, this civic center would not have been built. So would everybody please give a round of applause and stand for this delightful and wonderful woman, please. Little did you know that your husband would be recognized and be called the Tuck. I kind of like that myself. Seated to her left is Lucy Morgan. Lucy, most of you know, and those of you that don't, you should be thankful that she never wrote about you. She's a Pulitzer Prize-winning writer who's retired now, worked for originally St. Pete Times, which became the Tampa Bay Times. And she is a true... how can I put this? No, because journalism has evolved over time, and you are truly one of those individuals that was a great reporter and did not hesitate to go after whatever direction you needed to get the truth. So for that, we are tremendously grateful for you being a member of this club and of our board. So thank you, Lucy, for being here.
John Thrasher may not thank you.
Next to her is Wendy Walker. Wendy is retired now, enjoying a great deal of traveling. She was, for 28 years, the head of Leadership Florida. She was the first person that was a staffer, I think, for Leadership Florida. And for those of us that are graduates of Leadership Florida, we know but for Wendy Walker, there are so many things that we would not have been able to enjoy as being a part of Leadership Florida. So thank you, Wendy, for being here today. My friend Lee Hinkle, past vice president of Florida State University, very still actively involved in our community. She's on the TMH board, past healthcare lobbyist, did all sorts of things in her career, and is a delightful and wonderful friend, and she wants me to stop. She's going to be introducing our speaker in a minute, but Lee Hinkle, please give her a round of applause. Dominic Calabro, all the way down on the left, Florida Tax Watch, CEO for many, many years now. He's very popular two times a year, mainly around session, and then also Thanksgiving, because he's the guy that delivers the turkeys. That wasn't even supposed to be funny. I didn't even try to make that funny. So thank you, Dominic, for being here today. Seated next to him is Senator Bill Montford, our Florida State Senator, former superintendent of Leon County Schools, Leon County Commissioner, as I recall, from way back when. And frankly, in my opinion, and I think many people would agree, probably one of the most accessible elected officials in local and state government I have ever known. He is always there. He answers the call. And he is so supportive of things that are coming out of our community. We appreciate everything you do in the legislature. Thank you, Senator. Okay, and then we'll introduce our honored guest in a moment. I'm assuming many of you are here today because you're expecting some kind of an announcement or to get some insight of what's going on in football at Florida State University. I don't know if that's the case, but I'm sure we'll find out in a second. But in the meanwhile, we got together and we're going to show you a slideshow, and I'm going to do the best I can in literally a word or less about these potential coaching candidates and who they are. So we'll start with, let's see if this works here. Big game Bob Stoops said no, we think. Next one is Mike Norvell, and he is with Memphis, and we don't know. He still may be on the list. Kirk Herbstreit, he expressed some interest, but when he found out he might actually have to wear a hat on the sidelines, he said no way, because he just doesn't wear hats. Matt Campbell from Iowa State, we don't know. These are real names now. Jim McElwain, former coach, University of Florida. I'm a Gator. He'd be great. I think you guys should hire him. I don't even know why the search continues. No. Not happening. Is he still alive? Lane Kiffin, please no. Please no. Paul Feinbaum, hell no. It's not going to happen. Okay. Even a Gator like me wouldn't wish Urban Meyer on a null. It's just not going to happen. PJ Fleck with Minnesota won't go first, so we'll see what happens there. And then finally, yeah, well, I don't think so. I just, you know, I think he's probably going to stay. And the very last is, oh, hell yeah. I think he'd be a great coach for Florida State University. I want to thank Alan George Cuneo for putting those together for us. I promised that I would give them a big plug, and that way they wouldn't send us a bill. So thank you, Alan George Cuneo, for doing that. Okay, so all kidding aside, as a Gator, there's been a lot written. There's been a lot on TV. There's been a whole lot of coverage. What's been happening with the Florida State University football program and Coach Taggart, lack of fans in the stands, all those different things. But let's not lose perspective. Florida State University is now one of the top 20 public universities in the country. And I hope I get these numbers right. While the average attendance in the stadium has been about 54,000 this year, there are 42,000 students that attend Florida State University every single day. And that's far more important than 54,000 people in the stands seven times a year. So let's keep our priorities straight. There already is a head coach for Florida State University, and it's this man right here. And he's got a winning record that is going to be really hard to beat for a very long time. So now I'm going to have Lee Hinkle come up and introduce our guest speaker. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to introduce John Thrasher, the distinguished president of Florida State University. But good grief, introducing him has been so much pressure. So much has been happening so fast at FSU. When I was preparing this introduction, I didn't know if we'd have the name of a new coach before today's luncheon or not, and whether I'd have to express congratulations or horror or confusion. I knew I'd have to comment on it, even though I didn't know who he, she might be. So I wrote four separate scripts on what I could say, and I'd choose one depending on the fans' reaction to the new coach. One, President Thrasher, this is fantastic. You've hit a walk-off home run for FSU. Heartfelt congratulations from the legion of FSU fans. Two, wow, this choice was really interesting and unexpected. No one saw this coming. I know we'll all be excited to hear what Commissioner Bill Proctor has to say about it at its press conference this afternoon. Three, President Thrasher, I can speak for the majority of Seminoles when I say we understand this was a very difficult choice. After serious consideration of all factors, you and your team made a decision I believe will benefit Florida State in the long run. Four, John, I want you to know that everyone in this room respects your academic leadership. And everyone knows you did your best with this difficult challenge. Bless your heart. Well, we didn't have a football coach's announcement. But here is what he whispered in my ear before the meeting. 18. The number 18 has been all the talk in Tallahassee lately, but sometimes it's hard to know what people are so excited about when they say 18. Some say it's a trick question. Because you know, number 18 is freshman defensive back Travis Jay. It's also senior receiver De'Anthony McGriff, who, by the way, passed through the transfer portal just like on Star Trek with 2 years of eligibility left. Wow, that's interesting. Two players wearing the same number, 18. Now, on the other hand, 18 might refer to the fact that President Thrasher was able to negotiate Willie Taggart's contract down to only $18 million from the original $20 million. That's where those legislative skills come in handy. Maybe it means that President Thrasher spends 18 hours a day resolving problems with athletics and hazing and drinking and general good times on campus. In fact, I know that the students are upset about FSU having dropped all the way down to the number 18 spot on the party school rankings. All the way down to number 18, almost out of the top 20. I'm sure their parents are hearing about how upset they are. But still, it's possible, amid all the smoke and noise, that President Thrasher and his team were somehow able to find the time to raise Florida State's ranking to the elite top 20 of public universities. Probably not, otherwise we'd have heard about it on ESPN or the ACC network. And yet, according to U.S. News and World Report, FSU shares the number 18 spot with three other public universities: Penn State, Pittsburgh, Purdue. It's like the computer got stuck on the P's and couldn't move on. Anyway, all things considered, I suppose we should be grateful that we're tied with those three schools. After all three of those schools went to bowl games last year. But here's what ESPN, the ACC network, and War Chant didn't tell you. Really, really, FSU did soar eight spots to number 18 among public universities, meeting and well exceeding the goal of joining the top 25. It's an incredible accomplishment for the university. So now I'm going to let him tell us about it. President John Thrasher.
Wow. I think it's a joy to be here. Thank you, Lee. I appreciate it. Gil, thank you very much. Appreciate it always. You know, I was thinking about all this. Thought y'all were a political organization, not a football organization, but that's all right. Boosters are good folks. We love the Boosters. It's something about Tiger Bay, though. But it seems like every time I come here, we're hiring a new football coach. Last time I spoke to you was January, I don't know if you remember or not, probably don't, January of 2018. We were ushering in then a new era at Florida State University football. And we did. It just only lasted 23 months, that era. So now we're in a search mode again. And Gil, I love your folks up there. Interesting group, no doubt about it. We'll see as things develop. We certainly are in a search mode, though, I'll tell you that. I feel like sometimes everybody's tracking every move I make. I've been flying around the country, different places. I've been seeing people I haven't met before. People have had me seeing people that I don't even know I've met before, and going to places I haven't even been to yet either. So there is such a thing, I'll just say in case you politicians don't know it, there is such a thing as fake news, Lucy. There really is. I think if they had NORAD, they'd really have me pinned down. You know, but it could be worse. At least I'm not out trying to hire a police chief. But it has been an interesting couple of weeks. I often say if it wasn't for football and fraternities, it'd be a damn good job. It really would. But of course, I'm kidding. I say this all the time, every place I go. It's the best job I've ever had, and probably the last job I'll ever have. And I'm so grateful that my wife, Jean, who's here, has been by my side the whole time as the First Lady of Florida State University. She's appreciated very much. Lee Hankel talked about our team, and she knows about teams because she was obviously a vice president of Florida State University and did so well. But we got a great team. Sally McCrory, our provost, is here today. She's really the academic side of everything we've done, and her great team has helped us get to where we are today. Tom Jennings, another vice president for advancement, a fancy word for raising money, helped lead the charge for Florida State to raise over $1 billion in our campaign recently. Kathleen Daly, who is our associate vice president for university relations and helps me so much in the legislature. Thank you for being here, Kathleen. Janet Kistner is also here. She is the vice president for faculty development. Don Farr is our great director of our School of Hospitality, that so many of our students go out and find great jobs. Appreciate him being here also. Billy Francis, I saw Billy somewhere. I know Billy. There's Billy, who runs our veterans program. We have Florida State's the most veteran-friendly university in America. I'll just tell you that. Thank you, Colonel Francis, for all you do for that. And my chief of staff in the back, she doesn't want to be, I don't want anybody to tell her where she's back there, but she's back there, Liz Hurst, and I appreciate all she does and appreciate everybody being here. The legislative delegation for this community is led by, and it was referred to, an individual I referred to as an icon almost in politics. He and I got to serve in the Florida Senate together. He voted my button a lot of times, and I voted his a lot more times, Lucy. But no, seriously, for all of us in this community, and I can tell you by having worked with him side by side for a number of years, we are blessed and have been blessed to have Bill Monfort as our senator in this community, and I thank him very much. I don't know what his plans are. I think you all know I'm a Republican. He's a Democrat. I don't know what his plans are, but whatever he chooses to do, if it's something in politics or government, I'm going to be right there with you, my friend. Thank you again for everything. I appreciate it. The rest of our delegation, Loran, I don't know if she's here, Ramon, and certainly Jason, our new representative, all are doing a great job for us. You know, I didn't see Mayor Daley here. I thought he was maybe out of town or somewhat, but I was going to say something about him. I know if he was coming here, he would probably be riding his scooter, but would have a hard time getting here because I geofenced this area off, around campus. But please give the mayor my best regards. Seriously, November 10th marked my fifth anniversary at Florida State as president, and it's been an honor, obviously, to serve my alma mater. I have 2 degrees from Florida State, business and law, and would not be here today if it wasn't for those opportunities that my alma mater has given me. Proud of everything the university's accomplished. You referred to the 18th ranking, the successful $1 billion fundraising campaign, the largest gift during that campaign in the history of any public university, $100 million, which the Morans gave us for our College of Entrepreneurship. Our great research funding, which we refer to, and certainly most importantly, I think, or one of the most important things, the best 4-year graduation rate of any public university in the state of Florida and one of the top 10 in America. That's important stuff, and I appreciate all these folks who've been here. So I'm now starting my 6th year, and I just wanted to look back a minute with you, if I could, to where we've been and how we got to this part in the university's history. When I started the job in November of 2014, we had 2 big, hairy, audacious goals. You may have heard those words before, Lucy. They were from a former governor, right, and that I worked with. But 2 things. We wanted to be recognized as a top 25 university, and we wanted to raise $1 billion. And I got to admit, both of those were kind of daunting. At the time, FSU was ranked 43rd. Let me tell you something about 18, by the way, Lee. 18 happens to be my birthday number. I'm born on the 18th. When I got here, we were 43 in a public university's ranking, and I was born in 1943. So I don't know. There's something going on there, right? Yeah. You can add it up. You add it up. In about 2 weeks, I'll be 76. Right. So that's exactly right. But it's been an amazing experience, and those were important goals, I think, for our university. U.S. News and World Report rankings can never really fully capture, frankly, the scope of what we do at Florida State, but they do provide a snapshot in regard to the excellence of our university. And certainly private gifts, as Tom Jennings would tell you, help us with our goal to ensure student success and certainly other things that are so important to the campus. I wanted to expand our research enterprise, strengthen our entrepreneurship and innovation efforts, and certainly deepen our commitment to diversity and inclusion. As a university, we knew where we wanted to go, and we needed a roadmap to get there. And I think our Board of Trustees, who I look to very, very often for guidance, believe it or not, Lucy, I do. They, along with our great staff, developed this roadmap, our strategic plan, as some people call it. But it reflected what I believe are the values of Florida State University, and that would guide us forward. By 2017, we had the map in hand, and we were laser-focused on what we needed to do for this university, helping our students succeed and preparing them for 21st century careers. You know, we put a committee together to serve as our compass, and we established a set of metrics, and I had a set myself. You know, basically doing what you say you're going to do, being willing to measure those types of goals, certainly being willing to recognize success and recognize failures, certainly being able to communicate with stakeholders, recognizing that big ideas do take time sometimes, and one other, success is never final. And that's what we got ourselves by. We made our case to the legislature every year. They provided us, and I thank Bill for so much of that, for the funding to hire the great faculty we have. It allowed us to improve our student-faculty ratio and reduce class sizes. Many people remember, probably going to Florida State, that their classes were in large auditoriums, and I bet you'll be surprised to learn that over 50% of our classes have less than 20 students in them today, over 50%. And I thank Sally for that and her great team. Absolutely. These were changes, though, that helped FSU students achieve the highest levels. 93% of our freshmen return for their second year, a retention rate that is among the highest in the nation. 72%, as I said earlier, of our students graduate in 4 years or less. In fact, as I said earlier, our four-year graduation rate is in the top 10 in the nation among public universities, and certainly number one in the state of Florida. And that's even higher than our friends in Gainesville. Thank you. For my buddies that are, I heard a couple of Gators out there. I did. That's really what it's all about, folks. I really tell you that. That's really what it's all about. Graduating students with the knowledge and skills to be successful and make a difference in the world. Our goal is to invest in our institution, and our reputation is paying off. We're doing a better job of communicating our successes and singing our praises, frankly. That, I think, has resulted in better peer assessment ratings from presidents around the country, and certainly from provosts around the country also. It also has made us more popular than ever. Last year, we had a record-setting over 60,000 applications for this freshman class in 2019, and we might just break that record this year, I'm told, for 2020, that our applications are up over 9% from what they were last year. So people want to come here. People want to come to Florida State University. And these students are brighter than ever. I hate to tell you this, but some of you who may have gone to Florida State a while back would probably have trouble getting in today. I know I would. Back when I got in, if you had a pulse, that was basically it. So, Dominic, I'm not sure you would be able to, you know what I'm saying. Graduate student enrollment is another big deal for us. It's a hallmark. It frankly is a hallmark of any great public research university, and we're at an all-time high now in applications for our graduate schools. Our FSU alumni are giving back at a higher rate than ever before. They helped us beat our capital campaign goal in 2018, and when we concluded that campaign, Tom Jennings and his great team had raised almost $1.2 billion. That's supported, by the way, 1,300 scholarships and over 100 professorships. All these factors contributed to our jump of 25 spots in the rankings over the last 5 years, and we've now surpassed, as Lee said, many fine universities, and are tied with the three P's, as she said also. Our rankings, as our rankings go up, so does the value of the degrees that people have received from Florida State University, and I think everybody appreciates that. Florida State's not the only public university, though. I will say this, is to rise in U.S. News and World Rankings. And seriously now, my friends in Gainesville, the University of Florida, are now ranked the 7th best public university in America. Our friends at the University of South Florida are also coming up. And it's all because of the great support we have received from the legislature and other places. We're proud of our relationships with those universities. And by the way, you should know that the state university system in the state of Florida by U.S. News and World Report is now ranked the best the best university system in America and has been for the last 3 years. And I appreciate, again, our legislature and our governors and all the leadership understanding how important that is. It's not just a number. You know, we now have two universities in the top 20 of public universities in America. The only five states in the country that can say that, that have two or more public universities in the top 20. It's a big deal. It's a big deal economically for us. It's a big deal of attracting folks to come to Florida. It's certainly a big deal in attracting faculty members who want to come to an elite university. We've made a lot of progress in our goals, as I outlined in our strategic plan. I think we're going to continue to do that. We made a big leap forward in our commitment to entrepreneurship and innovation. And as I said earlier this month, we now have the Jim Moran College, not school, but the Jim Moran College of Entrepreneurship. It's the only one like that in America at a public university. And it's all due to the great support that the Moran Foundation has given us and that our great faculty and directors have put together. That college right now has 760 students, 25 faculty members. Just 3 years ago, we started with 80 students. And it's a result, again, of the $100 million gift that the Moran Foundation gave us. And I hope you've had a chance to go to our building on Monroe Street. It's really, really nice. And we have a lot of events there, and certainly hope you all will take a look at it. The other thing in our strategic plan that we've done is our faculty. Our faculty broke the university record this year when they received over $234 million in funding from federal, state, and private sources to support research such as the health sciences, high energy, and certainly marine biology. And finally, I would say that our strategic plan recognizes the value that FSU places on diversity and inclusion. I'm proud to say that we've been named the National Diversity Champion and have received the Top Diversity in Higher Education Award now for 6 straight years. I'm very proud of that. I tell you this because I think when you understand what a university population is, kids who come from all different backgrounds, all different ethnicities, all different religions, cultures, those types of things, that's what the world is about today. And we darn sure better be teaching them how to get along with each other and how to go out and work in an environment where you're going to have those kind of folks around you. And I think Florida State's doing that. We've had an incredible year of success, and I think I'm looking forward to the next year. But let me tell you a couple things that I think are challenges for us, and that's been expected, I think, in a community as large as FSU. I often say that being president's like being mayor, really, of a small town. The difference is our constituents' average age is 19 years old, and that creates a whole different set of circumstances. When I spoke to you in January of 2018, I had suspended all of the Greek life activities in the wake of a hazing death of a fraternity pledge. The suspension gave us time to develop new policies and procedures and support what I believe is a healthier and safer environment for our university. You also might be wondering why you're still reading about fraternities and sororities in the news. In fact, there was an article in the paper this morning. Well, I would argue that a major culture shift is underway and that our efforts are working. Students and parents are more educated about what constitutes hazing and more likely to report incidents. So we have lost a few more in the last year. National organizations, though, are taking action, and police and prosecutors now have stronger laws to enforce. And I can assure you this, though, as long as I'm president, FSU will be unyielding in our efforts to punish those who cannot abide by the rules and do not put the health and safety of their members and pledges first. I believe that those that are staying and remaining understand that, and we're going to have a more robust, I think, culture in that system. There are many wonderful fraternities and sororities on our campus, and they truly are. They provide leadership to our campus. And if they're about service and philanthropy and fellowship, they'll survive. It's that simple. Let me tell you my last concern, and I remember having a question about this when I was either here or another place, I'm not sure, and it was about what keeps me up at night, besides being old and having to go to the restroom occasionally. But let me be serious. I'll tell you what keeps me up at night. And it's about the crime in Tallahassee. I'm not pointing my finger at anybody. I'm just simply telling you the facts. Recently, we had some robberies right on our campus and other incidents that frankly captured the attention of our students and their parents. And I can understand why. Our police responded by increasing our officers and patrols around the residence halls and other areas, and we were able to apprehend a couple of those folks who had committed those robberies. And I appreciate all of what our local law enforcement folks do. I really do. I appreciate our local Tallahassee police, our county police, certainly our FSU police. But it's not, you know, what keeps me up at night is not worrying about a football coach, not worrying about the rankings. It's a concern about crime and the impact it could have on this university for years to come. And I hope as a community, we can all work together to address this issue. I don't have all the answers, but I'm certainly willing to participate and do whatever we can do. We all, though, every one of us, need to be aware of it, and we need to be concerned about it, in my opinion. I think everybody in this community deserves to feel safe, and I think certainly the parents who send their children to Florida State University want the peace of mind when they send their kids here, so that they know they're here for the right purposes of studying and doing the things that they're supposed to be doing at college. That's why we're a city of greatness, and frankly, with three great higher education institutions. But we got to make sure we deal with this problem, in my opinion. So those are just a few of the challenges. I'm not going to go into a lot more. People have asked me about why are we chasing rankings? It's clear that we're going to try to get into the top 15. I'd like to see us get into the top 10. That's a longer range goal, obviously, but it's going to take significant support from the Florida legislature to do that. And frankly, it's because, and Bill knows this. He knows. I'm just teasing. He knows it's because of competition. Other places are doing this. We're very, very blessed, by the way, to be able to say we're a top 20 university, but those three universities that Lee mentioned that we're tied with all have much higher support from their state and other places than we do. And for what we've accomplished in that area is just frankly amazing. But anyway, we're going to continue to work on that. We certainly don't want to backslide a slide. I know the governor doesn't. And I know that he will continue to help us and work toward those goals. So I think the fact that we've moved up faster for this legislative session to tell our members that than any other university in the top 50 of public universities in America is a great thing. I've been meeting with a lot of legislators, and I know they understand that. We're asking the legislature for funding, again, to continue to hire nationally recognized faculty, to improve our student-faculty relationship, and certainly enrich Florida's talent pipeline. One of our top priorities, obviously, is securing funding for the College of Business building. Buildings aren't everything. I understand that, but we really need one. That building is now serving twice as many students as it did, it was built for, and we need to know that. We have another building called the Interdisciplinary Research Building out in Innovation Park that will really make a difference in the sciences and in research, and we're looking forward to helping both of those. You know, both of those buildings are going to be funded 50% by us through philanthropy and other ways, and 50% by the legislature. So we're trying to do our part in that also. Speaking of construction, I'm about ready to finish. One of my goals always is to not let the sun set unless there's a crane on campus. We're nearing completion of the Earth Ocean Atmospheric Science Building, which is going to be about a $70 million building on the corner of Tennessee and Woodward. That'll house all the ologies, geology, meteorology, and just about everything else. Sally can help me with that. I don't know them all. And then the construction's underway for many of you who were at FSU. You, of course, remember our student union. It's down, and we're building a new student union to the tune of about $130 million. It's going to be the best student union in America when it's completed at the end of 2020. So it takes all of us working together in this community for us to all prosper and grow. I know you understand how important a system of higher education is to the strength of this city and certainly to the vitality of this state. And I just want to thank you for everything that you do to support Florida State University, everything that many of you have done to support me personally. I appreciate that. Gene and I both do. And we are looking forward to the next year with great enthusiasm and with great success. So God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving. And go Noles. Thank you.
We're going to just have a couple questions. Yep. I have two to start with. The first one is, so who's the football coach? No. The other one is, it has to do with construction. Is there a timeline for this complex? I know the College of Business is potentially over here. There's also all these other things that we put some blueprint money aside.
Yeah, the blueprint project, which Gil knows about from his time, is one which we still are looking at. There's a possibility of a convention hotel and some other resources on this property. But we are looking at that. I think a lot of other things have to come together. But it's certainly something we're looking forward to working with local governments on. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Thank you for coming. A friend of mine, who we both attended this university, came back and hadn't been back in about 25 years. And as we walked around, he was stunned on how beautiful this place had become. The question to you is when I showed up and when you were here, how do you translate that hunger that we had when we were not the nicest, beautiful, most place in the world to this next generation of FSU students?
Well, you know, again, I think part of the, you know, when I folks who come here for visits, and we have a lot of tours that come with students, prospective students and their families. Every time I go out in Westcott and they're there and I get a chance to talk to them and all that, and I do a lot of that, first thing they say is, this is the most beautiful campus we've been on. And it is so because we've put the resources in to make sure it stays that way. We've had the consistency of the buildings. I think the just the whole atmosphere of Florida State. Florida State's got 42,000 students, and that's a large number. But believe me, it feels much smaller than that when students come here because of the footprint and because we don't have those damn little scooters, too. I love you, Mayor. I love you, Mayor. I'm just kidding. But seriously, it's just a place they feel more welcoming, I think, and because of the atmosphere and the closeness of it. And frankly, the family orientation, I think we still have that feeling. And that's why we're getting the kind of applications that we have, in addition to the great programs we have and the great faculty that Sally and her team have put together. I think all of those things make a difference. Yeah. Barney Bishop, how you doing, buddy?
Great, Mr. President. Thanks for being here. You've done a phenomenally great job. We really appreciate it. So I have two questions for you.
But.
One, no, no, but not whatsoever.
No. Barney, my friend.
Two questions. One's a softball and one's a little bit tougher.
Okay.
So let me give you the softball one first. Tell us a little bit about academic research to market, where you're taking some of the products, certainly out at Innovation Park, and bringing those to the marketplace so that will get people jobs. And then the second question is a little bit tougher one. I remember when you were being vetted to become the president of FSU. And I remember the protests that were happening. I couldn't tell the faculty from the students in both behavior and in dress. So my question to you is this, and that is that I think many of us are concerned about, you have a diverse population. The question is, do we have a diversity of opinion that's being taught on campus? Or are we just promoting a bunch of kids that need to go to free speech places, zones, and things of that nature?
We don't have free speech. First of all, we don't have free speech zones. We have people who want to come to campus. They have the right to come. I believe strongly in the First Amendment. Do I agree with everything that comes to campus sometimes and folks who talk about certain things? No. But I believe firmly that we have at a university, they ought to have the right to do that unless they're being disruptive or causing some kind of potential harm to our students or faculty. But the First Amendment is the guiding principle in that regard. Fortunately, I think, Barney, we have a diverse, I think, I don't go to every single, we have over 2,000 professors in this university, so I don't go to all of them, but I hear back from our students, and I think our students are really thriving. You know, we're sending our graduates out to some of the great businesses in the country. We're sending them out to some of the great places in the country, like New York, for where they go to the theater or things like that. By the way, we're in the top 10 of universities in America that have current people performing on Broadway. We have some great, great, as you know, our band last year, our Marching Chiefs, was the only band in America, the only band in America to march on the D-Day celebration on Omaha Beach, the only band. And I could not be prouder of that. Our folks contributed the money. Every single band member who wanted to go went. So I think there may be out there isolated pockets of liberalism or conservatism. I don't know. All I know is our students are getting great jobs, and I think they're smart enough now, frankly, Barney, because I think of what we've done over the last 20 years in public education. When they come here, they know what they're about. They know what they want to do, and I think they're getting there in 4 years, and that's a positive thing also. As far as the other thing goes, we're always looking for synergies between our commercialization of ideas and research from our great scientists that we have, and it's working out. Gary Ostrander, is our vice president of research, has done a fabulous job. We continue to work with the local community, but other places around the state and the country, in trying to attract the best and brightest businesses here to indeed engage in some of those research opportunities. Hey, buddy.
Hello, John. How you doing?
I'm good, man.
My question is, we've built these wonderful universities and a wonderful system. What are we doing to retain this talent once they walk out of the door with this wonderful diploma and don't go to Seattle, to Microsoft, or wherever? How do we keep them here? And in your mind, has there been a coordination between the presidents, and is there this major plan?
Absolutely. First of all, there is a coordination and a plan from the Board of Governors level. And I'd also say the governor. Both our last governors that I have worked with since I've been president have both emphasized the opportunity for companies to come here because of our talent population, our talent pipeline. And I think a lot of our kids are staying. But, you know, when you have an opportunity, frankly, to go to Atlanta or go to New York to be with one of the top, accounting firms or finance firms or things like that, these kids are going to do that. That's not to say, though, they're not going to come back to Florida eventually. You know, the same thing is in our medical school. You know, we created our medical school, basically. We didn't talk a lot about that. For primary care physicians. And many of those kids who go out and work in the third and fourth year in the communities around the state often then go to residencies outside the state. But because of that experience, they're coming back to Florida. We're getting a lot of good internships from different places all over the state, certainly in the country. But I think our emphasis, obviously, is always to have them come back to Florida to increase the opportunities that they have and certainly the economic impact they have on our state, something we think about a lot. Good question.
Thank you.
Who? I'm sorry. Dominic Calabro, everybody, if you don't know him. Yeah, my friend, my buddy. He got vetoed about $100 million of my projects when I was in the legislature, but that's all right. I still like him.
Next question.
So I joked with John about this, but what's $100 million out of $2 billion with good friends?
I did okay.
Mr. President, and you and First Lady Jeanne, you've been fantastic for us. You've made Seminoles proud. You've done a great, great job. One of the best presidents we've ever seen. So,
thank you very much, Dominic. I appreciate it.
Talk a little bit about what FSU is doing to constructively assist in rehabilitating and restoration of the panhandle.
Yeah. Well, first of all, my former chairman of the board, Alan Bentz, and I think Gwen Graham, both started the 850 campaign. Our folks over in we have a campus, I think many of you know that, in Panama City. They have done a lot. We had over $10 million of damage from that hurricane just on that little small campus that we have about 1,000 students in. That campus is doing extraordinarily well, by the way, and we're getting ready to build our first residence hall at that campus, and I think it'll enhance it tremendously. Randy Hanna is doing a fabulous job. He's working with the local folks over there. We're doing everything we can to support our students and certainly our faculty over there to ensure that not a single one of them, by the way, who were hurt by that hurricane lost any opportunity for their education. And the ones who were ready to graduate graduated, and certainly we've kept everybody on time. But it's a serious problem over there. If you have not been over there, I promise you, you will still see a year over a year later some of the incredible damage that's over there. We all need to be cognizant of it, and we all need to be concerned about it because it's such an important part of our great state. I do think it is a forgotten part. I think so many people did forget about that area, but it was devastated. It was devastated by that hurricane, and it's something that hopefully I know Bill sees it every single day from his constituents around this area, that they still need help. They still need help, and I think Bill and his colleagues in the Senate and the House and certainly the governor, I think, are looking out for some of those folks. Yeah.
Two more questions.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for coming, and I think you're right to chase the rankings. UF attracts over twice as many of the top Bright Future scholars to their campus than FSU, and I think a lot of that has to do with the prestige associated with this ranking. So I think you're correct to do that, bringing that talent to Tallahassee. A few years ago, I did ask after you came on about concealed carry for students at campus at FSU, and since that time, FSU has maintained a very anti-concealed carry for students policy. Given the rankings last year as the most dangerous campus in Florida and the recent rash of incidents, have you considered something allowing concealed carry for students, or maybe something like a guardian program that's being put forth for?
No, and I won't.
Nobody else has asked, so I will. Could you elaborate a little bit on what you're doing to find a coach and how much you're going to pay him to go away if we don't like him?
No. Any more than I would pay you to go away, Lucy.
Thank you very much.
On that note, that concludes our program, and we'll see you next time. Y'all have a great Thanksgiving.
You've been listening to a delayed broadcast of the November 21st Capitol Tiger Bay Club luncheon meeting in Tallahassee. The featured speaker, Florida State University President John Thrasher. This program was recorded at the Donald L. Tucker Civic Center. Join us again next time for another Capitol Tiger Bay Club luncheon meeting on WFSU Public Media.